A report out today finds some common gardening products have high levels of toxic substances. This is the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams. The Ecology Center in Ann Arbor tested more than 170 kinds of garden hoses, gloves, and other products. They found 70% of the products contained high levels of one or more substances, including lead, cadmium, and mercury. Jeff Gearhart is the Ecology Center's research director. He says the biggest concern is garden hoses because a lot of people like to drink out of them on a hot day.
We found that one-third of them contained lead in excess of the U.S. drinking water standards that apply to products like water faucets.
But Gearhart says they tested some polyurethane and natural rubber hoses and found they were lead-free. You can find out more at environmentreport.org. This is the Environment Report. Purple loosestrife is a widespread invasive plant. It's taken over wetlands in every state in the U.S. except Florida. But now, Lindsay Smith reports, scientists consider purple loosestrife an invasive species success story.
Purple loosestrife are those tall, bright purple flowering plants you see mixed in with cattails lining the edge of many lakes and wetlands. It was first recorded in Michigan more than 160 years ago near Muskegon. Doug Landis is a scientist at Michigan State University.
But like many invasive plants, once they get a foothold, they can become much more aggressive invaders.
Purple loosestrife can grow up to 10 feet tall. And with each plant producing 2.5 million seeds a year, it quickly crowded out other native plants. People began to notice in the 1950s that ducks, geese, and other waterfowl hate nesting in ponds overrun by loosestrife. And other native species have a hard time finding food.
Every method to control purple loosestrife was tried, and ultimately they decided that all the conventional means were failing and they really needed to look at biological control.
That means they had to find something to eat it. It's mid-morning at Huff Park in Grand Rapids. Sunny, maybe 50 degrees, just warm enough for volunteers to begin spotting their targets, moving around in the park's wetlands.
You have to kind of, you know, pick a spot, kind of watch it a little bit.
That's Jacqueline Bellello. She's the stewardship coordinator at the Land Conservancy of West Michigan. She crouches down in front of a newly budding purple loosestrife plant. She points out the telltale signs she's looking for. Little holes in the leaves.
Got our first beetle.
Bellello carefully gathers the tiny black and red loosestrife beetle in a homemade bug trap.
Oh, they are tiny.
It's passed around so the rest of the volunteers can see what they're hunting for. In a couple of hours, the group has captured about 80 beetles, plenty to establish a new population at a nature preserve about 10 miles away. Entomologist Doug Landis says this beetle loves eating purple loosestrife. That's all it eats in its native home in Europe. The beetle was first introduced in Michigan in 1994.
The beetles become very abundant. They knock down the population of loosestrife, but in doing so, they've kind of eaten themselves out of house and home.
So the beetles travel to find more purple loosestrife. Or, if they're lucky, some people help them out. Landis says groups like this one in Grand Rapids regularly capture and release beetles to target specific areas. So far, the beetle hasn't adapted to eat any other plants, and Landis says it hasn't caused any known secondary problems.
15 years ago, purple loosestrife was really pretty much unchecked in southern Michigan, and now where I find purple loosestrife, I almost always find the beetles.
Landis says we can never get rid of purple loosestrife. But the beetles are keeping the plant under control in most of the state. For the Environment Report, I'm Lindsay Smith.
And that's the Environment Report for today. I'm Rebecca Williams.